both in the district and the county. Uh-huh. The district means that comprised of five counties, San Diego, Inyo, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, and one more. See? Uh-huh. The federation, two different groups.
And you were the Chinese part
I
of
was,
the
yeah. I was on the board, one of the board members, mm-hmm. and I was the one that, a special occasion, I have, up to now, they have never made as much money as the time that I was chairman of, you know.
I thought it was fundraising. non-profit organization.
You're talking about the federation?
All of these clubs
are non-profit. We have to raise money for charity. Mm-hmm. We help the community chest, all the charities, uh-huh. All the charities of this area. We channel off, we have to raise money to help the charities, mm-hmm. you know, so to donate to the charities.
And you help to raise the money.
Yeah, I was a chairman, and each time I was the one that really, I gave terrific fashion shows. Too bad I should have gotten all my things together.
You did not join any family associations.
No.
Did anybody else you know?
No, I don't think so, because I think the family associations are usually for men, and then they take their wives along, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. I see. So
I don't believe any single, any of my colleagues or my friends ever joined the family association.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware who were the important families in Los Angeles in the old days?
In the old days,
30s, well, 40s.
When I first came, this was Thomas Wong, you know, her husband died. And then, of course, the Albert Kwan,
mm-hmm.
and the Peter Sue Hoos.
Right.
And, of course, they were gone. I mean, both of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these are all because now, of course, there are quite a number, and they're from China and Hong Kong, but in those days, there were very few from Asia.
How about in the entertainment world? Was there anyone famous of Chinese heritage?
Mm. Well, at that time, the first one, the star, was Anna Mae Wong,
mm-hmm.
you know. She was the only Chinese.
How long was she prominent? I mean, how long did she take major roles before she?
Well, she was not. Left. She was working in pictures all the time until she, and never got ahead here in America, mm-hmm. because of the prejudices, I suppose. And it wasn't until she went to England, and then when she was in England, she had an audience with the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, then they accepted her and gave her roles, and then she became a star. And when she came back here, she was a star. But prior to that, there weren't anyone here because it was very difficult to crack in, you know.
When did she come back here?
I really don't know. I don't, I can't remember.
When you were in Good Earth, was she already established?
Yes, but I think at that time she was in England, because I don't remember her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was in England for quite a number of years.
Did you ever?
So I don't believe she was here, because I don't remember seeing her at all.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever work with her?
No, but we were friends.
Mm-hmm. Were there anybody else that you considered important?
In the motion picture?
Or in the Chinese, other general Chinese circle?
No. Well, socially, of course, down at Chinatown, they have these associations, and the Chinatown group, they had the Chinatown. I'm talking of these people that I mentioned are more or less the American Chinese. You know what I mean, American?
Mm-hmm, yes.
We're more, you see, down there in Chinatown, mostly of the, like the Benevolent Association,
uh-huh.
and such, they were the Chinese people, but not with the English with the American education. Mm-hmm. They were just all Chinese.
But you did not identify with those kinds of Chinese in China.
I don't deny it. It's just that their thinking and our thinking is very different, you know. Not because that I don't want to be identified with them, but it just seems to be too, you know, I mean, they're different in a different group.
Mm-hmm.
They all spoke Chinese. They get up and make Chinese speeches. But we participate. Whatever they want us to help, like when they're doing some moon festival or something, they come to us to help, and we always give them full cooperation.
Who's we?
We, I mean, our Chinese Women's Club, or the American-born, you know,
uh-huh.
All the Chinese people that had gone to school and college.
Uh-huh.
You see, we have a little different thinking from them. As a matter of fact, when we first had the Chinese Women's Club, everything that we did in Chinatown, we always go there and present our format to them and let them okay it so we could get their cooperation with whatever project we were doing.
Mm-hmm. How much money did the extras get paid in those days?
In those days,
the
Chinese were only getting about $5. When I started to work as an extra, I only got $5
per
a day, 8 hours work.
Was that what everybody else was getting?
The atmosphere people, the extra.
Yeah, the extra.
But the bit players probably were getting $50, $75, or $100 a day. These are the ones that had lines to speak.
For the $5 per day extra, was their income considered good, or was that below average?
Well, in those days, you know, for $5, you can buy an awful lot of things.
Yeah, that's what I'm
bread
trying to
was only ten cents, and a pound of lamb chops was only 25 cents. Relatively, I think it's the same. Look how high
it would
we
be
need
equivalent
to pay.
Of maybe
it's
like
equivalent.
$40 a day now? Is that how it's equivalent, $40 or $50 a day?
I suppose. I'm not a mathematician, so I really couldn't tell. But in those days, for $5, we can buy a lot, like we can buy what we would spend $25.
Mm, oh, I see.
You see what I mean?
Okay, okay. That was in the 30s?
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what kinds of jobs did other people that you know have besides, you know, getting extra, perhaps in other fields?
You mean in what field?
Yeah,
in,
your friends and
so on. You mean in Chinese, I mean
the
in...
Chinese.
The Chinese in motion pictures?
In motion picture and out of motion picture.
Well, in those days, I don't think they had as much opportunities as they do now, because they were not trained, you see, as when people got out of college, then a lot of them became engineers and maybe business or something. There weren't too many professional people. Now you find there are a lot of medical, Chinese medical doctors, and medical people, and law, you know, attorneys and all that. And now you find that there are a lot of, in any profession, I think the Chinese are doing very well. But in my days, that was just the beginning of liberation, I call it, or just beginning. The prejudices were just beginning to ward away. That's why China Society was formed before then, to promote the friendship between the Chinese and the Americans, so we could exchange the culture, you know, of both countries.
Right. What about the people who you knew who worked outside of the motion picture industry? How much were they making on the average?
I have no idea. They wouldn't tell me anyway.
Mm-hmm. And
then we weren't supposed to ask them.
Oh.
You know, we don't know.
And
even now, I would not ask them what their income is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you will have to ask each one of them or find some places where you could get the statistics.
Do most Chinese people live near others of the same? They come
what do you
together?
Well, in Chinatown they do, but the group that
okay,
I am with,
like you and
the
your
group,
friends.
All my friends, we live all over, some in Beverly Hills, some in Los Angeles, all over.
What sort of Chinese want to live in Beverly Hills?
Like the Kwans lived in Beverly Hills, you know, Albert Kwan. They bought a home up that way. And, oh, I'm sure there were many others, too.
Were there any other Chinese who moved to, say, Los Feliz or the West Side besides you?
Oh, I tell you, like Mrs. Thomas Wong and Mrs. Edwin Chow, all these people that you have interviewed, they live in, you know, in DeMille Drive and different places.
Oh yeah, Chow, yeah, Elaine.
Yeah,
Elaine
Chow.
Yeah, I know she.
And May Wong, you know, Mrs. Thomas Wong.
I didn't
interview
her.
Oh, you didn't.
No.
You see, so they all live around there.
So
and I lived on where John Marshall High School is. They call that the East Los Feliz.
Would you say then the more prosperous and the more westernized Chinese tended to be more scattered?
I think so. Now, like Mrs. Elaine Chao, May Wong, and myself, we're all American born. You see, all these people that were born here, more or less, were more progressive, and we like to advance ourselves, you know. So we mingle with the Caucasian people much more than the Chinatown group, because they're all in that particular radius, you know, and they don't go on the outside to meet the Caucasians or join any Caucasians. You know.
Did you write or keep in contact with any friends or relatives in China?
No, because I didn't have any relatives in China. My father came over when he was 16, and then my mother was born here, and her mother came from China, but she died before I never knew her.
I see.
So I have no one in China.
I see. Do you know of any cases where people either wrote their relatives or sent money over to China?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, quite a number of my friends did. But I know that they, you know, they talk about it.
How big was gambling with your friends?
What?
Gambling. Did any of your friends
gamble? No. I don't think so, not that I know of.
Then,
but they did have, like, for instance, Hanford, they had gambling. Places like lottery, as they do here in Los Angeles, in the olden days, but not anymore.
Your friends never did. Were you aware then what they do? Was their pattern of spending money more American or Chinese? In other words, the Chinese tend to save up all their money and put it in a box or something like that. The Americans.
Well, I tell you, I know that everybody has a savings account, and when we were, I call it liberated, when prejudice fell off of us and we begin to integrate with the Caucasians, then we have pride in our homes, so we went out and got everything that was modern and American furniture, which I regret very much, because in my home, in my father's store, we had some marvelous Chinese things, and all these soapstone artwork and all.
You didn't
we
take
didn't
them
care
over?
For it. I don't have one piece left.
What happened to it?
I guess they sold it or gave it away. As a matter of fact, now, my brother was a very scholarly man, because he was educated. My father sent him to Fresno to go to Kuomintang to study Chinese.
Kuomintang is a party.
Yes, but in those days they sponsor a school.
Oh.
But that doesn't mean that they belong to it. But that's the only place that they had Chinese schools in those days, about in the 20s or maybe earlier. No, when I was young. About the Boxer Rebellion and the 19, whatchamacallem, you know.
Yeah, the Boxer Rebellion was 1900, and 1911 was when the Nationalists overthrew the Qing Dynasty.
Well, then my brother, when I was very young, when I was only 2-3 years old, and he was sent to Fresno and lived there to go to the school to learn Chinese.
Were you sent to?
No, I was not.
So
no.
You did go to Chinese school for about
yeah,
3 years.
Yeah, after my brother, when my brother, you know, got this Chinese Zhonghua Manguo Hokhao, then I went to that school. And as a matter of fact, my brother even used our basement, my store, the store number 10, China Alley, basement, and had a school there. He taught us, and he was a principal.
Your brother?
My brother.
Oh.
I have this only one brother, the one that went to school in Fresno to learn Chinese. Because afterwards, my father sent him back to China to learn more Chinese and to learn to be an herbalist.
Right, and he became very popular. People lined up.
Right,
right.
And then, yes. And then he was the one that got the school. You see, he was always very, I took it from him, you know. I mean, very active and wanted to help the society to improve.
Who was his profession?
An herbalist.
He was always an herbalist?
Always an herbalist. He went to China. Mama, you know, he was a Chinese doctor.
So he made a living like that until he
passed away. He went to China for a visit, and then that's when he died.
Where did he practice most of the time?
In Hanford, California.
How did the depression affect you and your family?
Well, I was married at that time to depression, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was already married. That was 1929, the depression. And the stock market fell.
Did you play in the stock market?
No.
Okay, so
my husband was working and, you know. Oh, yes. And
did
during
he lose
that
his
time.
Job?
Huh? No, he didn't, because he was a manager of the Han Company up in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I forgot to tell you that. And that was when Chinatown up in San Francisco. Chinatown decided to open a postal telegraph company, and they were looking for somebody to train to be the first Chinese, woman at the telegraph company. And it was, so I was the first Chinese woman, and I was the one that sent a message across from San Francisco to New York when the grand opening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's too bad they had pictures taken of me and a little brochure. And through moving, I think we have lost it. I can't find that little, brochure.
Mm-hmm. What was the brochure about?
Oh, about the Chinatown, the first Chinese postal telegraph office, and all manned by Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the first Chinese woman. Lady to send the teletype across the country.
You were trained to do that?
Yes. I took, I think, about a couple of 3 weeks, you know. That was during the Depression when
end segment.